Well, let's start with the bridge itself, Gabe. Any speculation now or any estimation as to how long it's going to be closed?
Not at the moment. A lot of officials are fairly quiet while this three-week inspection is going on, but anyone who has ventured a guess has said anything from 6 months to years, 2 years or longer, depending on what needs to happen. They don't even know at this point if it could be repaired or if it will have to be replaced.
Now, we started out Monday with some pretty major backups, especially coming out of the southern Indiana morning rush, but things seem to smooth out a little bit today.
Yeah, this traffic plan of rerouting everyone through downtown Louisville, through the only two road bridges that remain, the Clark Memorial and the Kennedy, has worked pretty well according to everyone involved in it. We talked earlier this week with Lieutenant Doug Sweeney of the Louisville Metro Police Department, who had said the traffic plan was working very well. They overstaffed the control center a bit at first, and they were starting to bring people off of that. They think that they have enough people staffing it. They think the plan is solid enough. We saw some ramps being widened in Indiana, some changes to which exits were available and when those exits were available, and all of that on the Kentucky side. But for the most part, they have this plan worked out, and they say people are getting used to the commute, and that's the biggest step, is that people just have to realize maybe it'll take them longer to drive, and then they get their own pattern set up, get comfortable with the drive, and we'll kind of move things along.
Let's talk about what this has caused in New Albany, Shea Van Hoy. How are they handling it over there?
I can speak more for the Jeff side of things. The traffic in downtown Jeffersonville doesn't really look that much different than normal, at least like on Court Avenue. There's obviously some backup along some of the access to 65, and they've been closing the ramp from Court Avenue to I-65 southbound in the morning to kind of alleviate that merge, that kind of terrible merge at exit zero onto the bridge. It's bad at any time. I think, like Gabe said, people are finding their own routes around like back roads. I talked to a guy who called and said he went to an event yesterday in Charlestown and kind of went from Jeff on some of the back roads up there and said it, you know, he made his way that way. And as far as New Albany, I know they've for a while, it was the first day, had the downtown exit closed, and now they've that's been reopened since Saturday. So and I know Daniel's in our office there, so he might know a little bit more about downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they reopened exit 123, which has helped quite a bit with the traffic flow. Basically, downtown area was moving pretty well the past few days. Kind of as mentioned, there's been some backups at some of the areas that feed into Interstate 265 around Charlestown Road, Grantline Road, but some calming with that. Of course, what most of the officials said is there's been beautiful weather since this has happened, and as winter months come on, if the bridge is still closed, that could lead to some more issues as far as traffic, but pretty smooth, I think, all things considered.
And we have two remaining bridges, the Clark Memorial Bridge and the Kennedy Bridge, coming over the Ohio River. And that takes us to our call here from Amy, if she's still there. She's been holding for a while. Amy in Greenville, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Amy, what's your question or comment?
Thanks for taking my call. I have some concerns about the structural safety of the Kennedy and the 2nd Street Bridge. I haven't read or seen anything that really boosts my confidence in it, and I'm wondering if anybody on the panel knows some information about that they can share.
Anything new on that, guys?
The bridges, are they both at this point functionally obsolete? And the Kennedy is ranked structurally deficient as well. Those are technical classifications, as we heard on Wednesday from some of the highway engineers. They say those are technical classifications that don't necessarily reflect the overall health of the bridge. That could refer to just the surface, just the road part of it and whatnot. They are designs that really aren't in use anymore, that if a new bridge is built, it's not going to look like one of these. It's not going to be that same sort of structure. The Kennedy is built from the same sort of, I believe it's the X1 steel that right. The Sherman Minton is built from. It's a type of steel that is susceptible to cracks under certain circumstances. The engineers have been reassuring everyone that the bridges are still safe, that they can handle this extra load, and that the inspection of the Kennedy that was planned and then postponed is happening.
Yeah, they've had some folks up on, top of the bridge. I think the Courier Journal had a photo of some inspectors up there. And I think, you know, what Gabe was talking about, the classifications always seem kind of ominous for bridges. It's kind of like the ratings on restaurants. It's like a B, and everyone freaks out. So I think that most of the bridges, a lot of bridges in the country, have had these problems because they were built in the 50s or 60s, and a lot of them do need replaced 20 or 30 years from now, and they're just, the classifications kind of sound maybe worse than they are.
Let's go to the phone. Stu is standing by here in Louisville. Hi, Stu. You're on WFPL. What's your question?
Yeah, it's about reopening, refurbishing the K&I Bridge and whether that's a possibility and whether they're not considering that because it's too much competition for the strained finances of the Ohio River Bridges project.
Anybody want to weigh in on that one?
I know before this bridge incident happened that there was meetings going on between New Albany leadership and Louisville leadership as pertaining to reopening the K&I, at least for pedestrian access, kind of tie into the Greenway. I'm sure that issue has been brought to the forefront absolutely with this recent closure, but I know there was discussions going on even before this came up.
One of the things is it's the railroad's bridge, and so it's not a public bridge like the Kennedy or the Clark Memorial or Sherman Minton. So the negotiations would have to go through the railroad, and they've been really hesitant to open it up for safety reasons, even to pedestrians. And, you know, at one time it was a vehicle bridge, and I think it could still support that. Obviously, it supports trains, but it's a deal with the, it's basically the railroad's decision. They would have to okay that.
And as far as some of the more in-depth explorations of that, Barry Barker, the executive director of TARC here in Louisville, has been fairly vocal about what alternatives could be considered, even if they don't fall under his office necessarily. And he gave the impression that a lot of other officials have given as well when I've talked to him or when they've given comments to other reporters, is that there are options out there for various things that could be done, but no one is really getting too serious about exploring them yet until they realize what the extent of the Sherman-Minton closure is going to be.
Let's talk about the Ohio River Bridges Project. And Stu, thanks for your call. There's been some finger pointing. River Fields has been mentioned a lot. Been a lot of finger pointing and accusations that the Bridges project has been stalled, and if it had gone on as it was supposed to years and years ago, we wouldn't have this problem. And Philip, we've been also hearing from a name someone we haven't heard from in a while, Ann Northup.
Yeah, the former Congresswoman Ann Northup, who now serves on the Federal Consumer Protection Commission, she was made an appearance recently on 84 HAS Radio, and Congresswoman Northup, I think, made up. And it's sort of a, if you think about it, going back in time a little bit here, to hear her and Congressman Yarmuth debating the bridges all over again. Her point was that she felt that since Congressman Yarmuth took office, that the momentum behind the bridges project stalled. Obviously, Congressman Yarmuth, as we reported earlier this week, he took exception to that, saying that Ms. Northup's complaint or citing that money was put out for a six-year plan, that money did not exist, that it was just for a planning guide, and that at this point, there is no money for the Bridges Project other than them coming up with a financing plan. So we see here the government being challenged, I think, on two basic fronts. Number one, its job of fixing and maintaining our current infrastructure, but also how does that impact the creation of new projects or new infrastructure? At this point, earlier this week, I also spoke to Steve Schultz, chairman of the Bridges Authority, and what he said was that they will remain flexible, but they don't know anything yet. So once they hear back from officials from both Indiana and Kentucky, they'll be able to make a decision there. I'm assuming that remain flexible means that if necessary, money could be diverted from the Bridges Project to fixing our current infrastructure, but no one wants to comment on that because, as Gabe mentioned earlier, we don't know. And because there's so much of this unknowns, as Donald Rumsfeld once famously said, the unknown unknowns in this matter, people are really, I think, both public officials alike and residents are unsure what to say and do next. Really, the matter comes down to the fact that you have people who say, as far as motorists are concerned, that there isn't really as much as congestion as that their travel time has been exponentially added to, whereas a trip that was once 20 minutes is now an hour. I think that is becoming something that public officials are having to address. The frustration of their constituents is becoming more and more vocal as we get further and further from the shutdown date of the Sherman-Minton.
Gabe, we've been talking to some companies and businesses. What type of effect has the shutdown had on them?
Well, in New Albany, there are some businesses, and these guys from New Albany or from the Indiana side could speak to that a little bit more about certain things that they may be doing over there. On the Kentucky side, we've been putting in calls to Humana. We've been putting in calls to UPS, two of the larger employers. Humana has about 1,900 employees who live in Indiana, and UPS, of course, has to get their trucks in and out, either going west or going north, and you know, the link to the west connecting Virginia to St. Louis has been severed here at this point. And then 65, which would connect the north and the northern Midwest to the south, has also been clogged. So UPS right now hasn't said much about what they may be changing, what they have to do for these trucks. And Humana has also only said that they're watching the situation, considering whether they need to allow employees to come in late, whether they're going to stagger schedules, whether they'll open up more employees to perhaps telecommute so they wouldn't even have to get in their cars to cross the bridge.
This bridge closure happened a few days after President Obama's speech where he unveiled his jobs program and said we really need to rebuild our infrastructure. So a lot of people have glommed onto that, including Congressman Yarmouth, who says, well, here we go.
Yeah, he says this is bringing it home. The interesting thing is the president will be in Ohio next week at the Brent Spence Bridge, which is the one he mentioned in his speech between Kentucky and Ohio. And so there's speculation now that people are trying to get the president to come to either Southern Indiana or Kentucky to discuss the Sherman-Minton Bridge, because it would be a politically advantageous appearance for him as well, since the Brent Spence Bridge is right near House Speaker John Boehner's district. Or is it in Boehner's district?
I think it's adjacent. Yeah.
Adjacent, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's in his backyard. It's in Senator McConnell's home state. And the Sherman-Minton Bridge connects to Republican Todd Young's district and also Senator Mitch McConnell's state. So it would be a very politically advantageous move, it's thought, for the president to do that. And as Congressman Yarmouth has said, all this talk about the Brent Spence Bridge is one thing, but the Sherman-Minton Bridge is closed and needs repairs. As far as emergency funding goes, which is another way that any repairs or replacement of the bridge could happen, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not the bridge would qualify for that. Technically, according to Congressman Yarmouth, it would have to collapse to get this emergency funding. So he's been meeting with some White House officials and talking with other members of Congress to try to get these rules waived or altered somehow, or to get a special permission that if the bridge does need federal spending to get around the collapse rule.
Let's take another call on the bridges. Jan is in Clarksville. Hi, Jan.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
Yes. In light of the fact that Mitch McConnell holds one of the most powerful positions in the federal government, can someone please explain to me why we don't already have a new bridge?
I think what you've seen, and I think the caller's point is valid in the sense that the shutdown of the Sherman-Minton Bridge has reignited, I think, people who are very supportive of the East End Bridge. Now that we don't even have a West End Bridge, you've seen Humana co-founder David Jones. He has said that he will lend $10 million to build an East End Bridge. Many of the folks who are supportive of the East End Bridge only have begun to chime in. That was the whole reason that former Congresswoman Northup was on 84 HAS. And many, I think, when this closure first happened, pointed the finger at McConnell saying opposition to infrastructure funding, mentioning that and mentioning President Obama. I think that became certainly a level of political rhetoric that you're going to hear more and more as the shutdown continues. It's yet to be seen whether the federal delegation will unite behind this. I know the members of the federal delegation, including Senator Rand Paul and other members of Congress, including Congressman Ben Chandler, have all been in discussions with members of the federal government and talking about what would be necessary in case the Sherman-Minton Bridge closure, let's just say, happens for 2 years or so. It's yet to be seen, though, if there's been any direct political backlash against McConnell directly. That, I think, goes to Gabe's point whether or not the president may or may not show up. But I think you're beginning to see the level of frustration mount, and that means more people will be pointing to public officials, Democrat and Republican alike, saying, what are you actually doing to, I guess, alleviate this problem or fix it?